Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, Calvin Coolidge once said, the business of America is business. And on EWABS this week, we're going to go into the business of voiceover. And we've got a great guest to talk about that. We've got a former agent and now a management person, person who manages voiceover careers, Celia Siegel. Great gal. We're going to have a great conversation about marketing your business.
We are focusing on business this time, and my topic's going to be about life hacking. What? I'll explain what that means. But really, it's all about doing everything you do just a little bit better to make your life overall a lot better.
And in my discussion this week, we're going to talk about how many referrals do you get and how many do you give to help fight your voiceover business. That's East West Audio Body Shop, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And join us in the chat room where we have a great time every Monday night. We'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
Sounds like you're in the Antarctic. And together we are
East West Audio Body Shop.
Bit of a cold this week, sir?
Yes, my turn. It's going around now. It's my turn in the house to get sick. So, no, I didn't take my flu shot. I haven't had one since I was a child.
Well, you know, what's harder? You know, half a second of a needle in your arm or a week of this?
Yeah.
Especially, well, all of us in the voice business, you really don't have to talk except on Monday night.
No, I can imagine if my voice was my living, I would probably use every preventative, you know, tactic possible. That's
absolutely
for sure.
Yes.
Don't mess with your livelihood, folks.
No. It's important to take care of this thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a wonderful show for you tonight. A little bit different. We're going to, you know, EWABS is evolving a little bit. We're going to be doing some really cool stuff that we'll be sort of bringing online as we go along over the next couple of months, and you're going to start seeing some of that. Tonight, we're actually have the theme of no technology. We'll take technology questions if you got them, but we're going to talk about business tonight, about your voiceover business. And I sure know that makes Doug Turkel happy as all get out. And he'll probably be the busiest one in the chat room tonight since he likes talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we have a great guest who is a voiceover business person. She is an expert in marketing voiceover people like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Celia Siegel. I'm sure some of you know her and have met her and love her because she's a wonderful gal. And she'll be right here on our show in about 34 minutes or so. Maybe less, maybe more, depending on
how long we blab.
Anyway. So you're going to be talking about life hacking, which I think might be kind of interesting.
Hopefully.
So anyway, and of course we'd love to thank our sponsors because without them we wouldn't be here. Like Harlan Hogan and our good friends at VoiceOver Extra and Edge Studio
/ VO Studio Tech
/
for the time being, until we've completely melded the two companies together. Branding. Talk about branding.
Talk about branding.
Well, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, talk about branding. I still have my, you know, my J.S. Gilbert knife corkscrew.
Uh-huh.
Guy is a master at swag. He really is.
He is, man.
So, what are we going to talk about this week?
Let me get started.
I'm going to get things started. When you talk about business, especially when you have a voiceover business, I'm constantly reminded of my my late father-in-law, may he rest in peace, Irwin, who was an insurance general agent. And I was in the insurance business for a little while. And I wasn't working for him. I was working for another agency. But I was dating his daughter. And he would, you know, when I would see him and he would say, "Daniel, how many referrals did you get today?" And this was like a constant thing. But he cared. I mean, he was, and that's why he was such a good general agent. In the insurance business, referrals are very, very important. In the voiceover business, the best business is referral business. You're going to get your best clients through the referral process. And how do you get referrals? Well, the best way to really talk about it, and I'm sure some of you are probably pretty experienced at this, especially if you sold insurance. People love to help. So as you're working with a client, or you're like saying, "Yeah, that was a great session. I appreciate that. Thank you." Or, you know, you're talking to them, or you've just sent the files and stuff like that, and you've done a great job, and they say, "Thank you. That was fabulous." Simply ask, you know, "Before we go, can you help me with something?" "Yeah, sure." People love to help. "Do you know anybody else in your field, or some other production companies, or a friend of yours, or other people who also have need for voices? And can you give me their names? Or can you say, 'Hey, I got this great voice person that can do this kind of stuff and that kind of stuff.'" And you have to sort of like get over the emotional, risk that you can take with that, because the benefits are really, really there. People want to help. And if you learn how to do that properly, you can probably get a couple of very good leads out of every client you have. So that's an important thing to do. So when you get a referral, earn your reputation. It's very, very important to when somebody gives you a referral and said, "So-and-so said you're really good at this, and we'd like you to do this," treat them like they are made of gold. Because if you treat them nicely, they're going to have a good experience with you. Not that any of us wouldn't do that, but these people go above and beyond. Love these people, because they're going to help you as well. It's important to treat them really, really well and go above and beyond. But you should always do that. For referrals, it'll get you more business. Always remember that it's important to give referrals, because referrals always come back, usually tenfold. We all know each other. I mean, there's a pile of us here in the chat room, and we all know each other pretty well. I know each and every one of you, and I know what you all sound like, and I know who's good at what and who can do that. Somebody can do Spanish. Somebody can do Latvian. Any of you do Latvian out there? Anyway, if somebody says, "Do you know someone who does Latvian, or speaks fluent Latvian, or fluent Estonian, or fluent, Thai?" Well, I actually know people that do, and I can refer them to them. And one, I'm helping out a friend. Two, I'm helping out my client, who is like, "Wow, this guy knows everybody." It's important to throw the business around. I think in our community, it's a really important thing to do. Throw the business around and don't be selfish with it, because if you're looking at all the auditions that are coming in, there seems to be plenty of work to go around. A lot of specialty work, and we have a lot of people in our business that do a lot of very good specialty work. So help them out, and trust me, they will help you out immeasurably in the future. And finally, and I've mentioned this before on this show, referrals are an important part of networking. And this is a networking business. Getting an agent, all sorts of things. Having a good network is important. One of the keys to having a good network is referral business, because it strengthens all those ties. So that's my lead off into referral business and our talk about business. George, yeah. I know you thrive on referral business.
Oh boy. This business just doesn't exist without it. And I know, you know, the traditional route of or route or whatever, however part of the country you're from, of creating a business, if you're going to be treating a business like a business, is to start with a business plan. I didn't have a business plan. I had a business sort of thrust in front of me, which was nobody knows how to help me with a home studio. And I go, oh, maybe I should be able to do that. You know, and that's where the business came from. But it was because people were asking for the help, begging for the help. They needed it bad. And they were coming, they were looking for anything. And then when they found me, they were saying, why didn't I know about you sooner? So, yeah. I mean, if there was ever a business that grew out of referrals, it's absolutely mine. And, you know, I couldn't be more grateful. And over the years, I've figured out different little ways to thank for it. I think the hard part for me is, and when there's all these referral key, you know, referral key, and there's all these referral tracking systems and, you know, all these scratch my back, I'll scratch yours type systems. And all of them I have no problem with. The hard thing for me, and this is for LinkedIn recommendations or anything, is it's difficult for me to recommend voice actors because I'm not in a position to get to hire them. So I don't know. I mean, I know people, I know their voices, I know their reputations, but I'm really careful. I don't want to refer people who I've not hired myself to do work for me. Is that not necessary? I mean, you know, am I going too far with that? Or, you know, is that important? I mean, because I know someone's talent, but do I know how quickly they follow up? Do I know how quickly they do the job? You know what I mean?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Always refer people who you trust, not just because you want to refer them.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
when I refer you, if it was Dan,
right,
that you are basically become an extension of my reputation, right? So that's why the trust is, yeah, the trust is absolutely crucial, right? Just with these referral keys and the LinkedIn, so don't loosely recommend anybody and everybody. Make sure it's somebody that you really trust, because that is your, when you recommend somebody else, that is your reputation as well. That is going to be on the line, so to speak. So something to think
about.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, and it's, but again, you know, any client that you get out of that is, you know, you still have to judge each client on their own merits too. I mean,
yeah.
If someone's, you know, I think Connie was mentioning in the chat room that it's, hey, you know, I got a referral once and the person, you know, paid like crap. Well, the fact of the matter is if they're not paying well, they're usually not worth working for.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
the people who pay the lowest are generally the worst to work for.
It's rare I've had a referral really blow up in my face, but I mean, once in a while it happens. And there was one in particular that we were discussing on the VOBB that kind of did a lot of people wrong in the audiobook world. And I happened to have worked with the guy, and I did manage to get my payment, but, you know, that referral came through somebody that we mutually respect. I'm not going to respect her any less in this case because, you know, there's no way to know that somebody that you're going to refer is going to end up being a problem client. It's impossible to predict.
Yeah.
You know, but it's something to think about.
All right. Well, that got us off to a rousing start. We've got lots more coming up tonight. We've got Celia Siegel, who's always a pleasure to have around, and we'll talk a little bit more about marketing. And you got some stuff. I've been looking at this, and I'm like, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about life hacking your way to a better career. So stand by. We've got lots more coming up here on East West Audio Body Shop. So do not go away. We'll be right back.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP,
name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Annie did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop, with George Whittam on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
Yeah, we were kind of deciding, well, how are we going to communicate tonight? See, 2 weeks ago we did
IPDTL.
IPDIDL. And last week we did Source Connect. Now, is that the name of it?
Yeah.
And this week we were talking about, let's see, smoke signals, tapping on the pipes. Shortwave.
Right. Should we use shortwave tonight?
Yeah, let me get my shortwave radio. Yeah, and it'll come in and out as we're talking.
Oh my god.
Terrestrial broadcasting.
We're back to regular run of the mill Skype tonight. It's just pretty pain free for the most part.
It is. This is the latest version, 6.14.
And I'm still in 6.8, so I have to upgrade. I got gun shy.
Okay.
After that one show.
Yeah. Okay. What do you mean by life hacking?
Life hacking. Okay. Well, I'm a big fan of podcasts, just like you folks hopefully out there are as well. And I stumbled on this podcast at one point called Life Hacker. And so it's piqued my interest. I like anything that is going to help you become more productive and better at what you do. And Life Hacker was one of those things. So I kind of jumped on it pretty quickly and started listening to the podcast. And the thing is, it's a real grab bag of stuff. But the bottom line is they give you interesting content all the time that could really change. You know, it's one little thing that could make a huge difference in your life. So an example of one of those things that I'll show you real quick is,
if you have studio problems.
Sorry about that. They have an article called Declutter by Writing Expiration Dates on Items You Rarely Use. You know, who would have thought? But, you know, if anybody has an office like mine that's getting cluttered and more full of stuff all the time, this is a little productivity tip that could be that one little 1% trick that could make your life so much better. Because if your life is less cluttered, your office is less cluttered, your life tends to be less cluttered, and you tend to get more productive. So, I mean, that's just an example of one of the things that's popped into the feed recently from Life Hacker at lifehacker.com. So I've kind of realized that I like these tips. I like using some of these ideas, and it's made me realize that I myself am a life hacker. That's something I like. I enjoy doing. I like trying to find better ways to do anything that I can. So I'll share with you a couple of quick tools here, and then Dan and I will share some of the ways we've used some of these tools or not. But one of those is a tool called Buffer. And Buffer is for people that do a lot of social media work, and they want a way to take one piece of information and make sure it gets sent to a lot of people. And so Buffer is an awesome tool. And I'll show you a window here in Chrome so you can see what I'm looking at. And Buffer is called BufferApp.com. And they have a mobile phone app as well. But what it does is you can say, well, I want to take this link and share it with a lot of different people. And in this particular case, Celia gave me a link to a webinar she's doing or a workshop. And it was a really long link. Buffer will shorten the link for you down to a really short link and then let you say, let's share that with Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Google+. And what's also cool is Buffer will send that content out at what they deem to be the right time of day. Because the thing is, you might have an idea pop into your head and you might send it right now. Well, right now it might be 8 in the morning or 2 in the morning or God knows when, 8 p.m. at night, which might be a really lame or lousy time to do a Twitter blast or something. So Buffer will retime it for you automatically. That's where the Buffer came from. So Buffer has been a really huge tool for me for my social work, social media marketing. Another tool that we use on the show, and here it is right here for you guys to see, here's our show notes. We do our show notes on Google Drive, which was used to be called Google Docs. And why is this cool for you guys? Well, I can't believe how many people could benefit from using this to collaborate on a script. How awesome would it be that the director that you're working with, a producer, could make script changes on the fly. They could say, you need to accept, you know, you need to really, let's have you really focus on this phrase. So they'll take that and make it, you know, make it a italics or underline it or make it a different color. You can
or
do all this
different
stuff.
Color.
Yeah, as you can see, Dan's doing it on his end. How amazing would it be to be able to do that on a script during the read instead of, let me get my pencil, let me write that down. And not that there's something wrong with a pencil, but for the director to have a script change or a line change and make a change on the fly while you're looking at it, I think that's pretty awesome. So that's one of my other cool tools that I'm really digging lately. And as you can see, here's my list. I've got a bunch in here. I'm not going to go through them all because I don't want to take away too much time from our discussion. But another one is if you do a lot of invoicing, I've heard a lot of people say they love FreshBooks. I don't personally use it because I had a much more complicated business for a long time, serving way too many clients, and it would have gotten too costly. But if you find yourself working with, you know, a pool of 20 or 30 regular clients, check it out. I mean, you could find it to be a really great way to do your billing and keep track of your invoicing because it does things like it puts a link in the email that you send out that they can click and then pay the bill. I mean, that's pretty cool. Lastly, I'll sum this up with how do you build your website? Most of you probably already have websites, but if you're looking at building a new one from scratch, or you're looking at having one rebuilt, or you're just getting started, try some of these utilities that are software and service kind of all wrapped up in one. So two that I use, one is Squarespace, and I have vostudiotech.com. My own website is built on Squarespace. And the other one is Wix, W-I-X. So Squarespace and Wix. Squarespace, this is my website built on Squarespace. It's got unbelievable templates. It lets you build a website really, really quickly without a lot of hassle and frustration. And Wix is actually what ewabs.com is based on. And Wix is even nicer in some ways because it's totally free. So you can build a website.
Even better.
You can build a website for free to get started with Wix immediately and then get rid of their branding when you want to start paying for the site. And there's an example of our website, which is on Wix. So there's a few tools that I like to use. Dan, I know you and I use some of these together. Anything that of that list that really stands out for you that's been a game changer the way you get your work done?
Well, SugarSync and all of the cloud stuff. I've got four different cloud accounts.
Me too.
in case you send something to a client, okay, it's on Dropbox.
Right.
I'm having trouble with Dropbox. Okay, it's on SugarSync.
Yeah.
Or okay, it's on Box. Or it's, you know, let me just send it to you, you know, on Skype, you know, that sort of thing.
You need backups.
There is backup is everything.
Yeah.
Especially with our voiceover equipment and stuff like that. Always good to have a backup system.
Yeah.
But with moving files, I remember when it was just FTPs.
Oh,
and,
God, they're such a hassle.
How do you set up the FTP? Now it's just like, all right, here's an account.
They're not expensive.
Here's a link. Boom.
Yeah.
You know. Thanks for sending that file to. No problem. And thank you for the referral. You know, but I use a lot of this stuff. Scheduling stuff is really, really important. I'm not good at it, but I'm getting better at it.
Yeah, that's what I didn't mention. But if anybody's booked services with me in the last, 2 years, I guess, you've used Schedule once. And I don't know if this has been able to apply to voice actors yet, because I know what you guys do can be really spontaneous, and it can be hard to schedule things in. But if you do have clients that schedule things in advance, and they want to know when you have availability in advance, Schedule once.
I love the paint roller.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You paint onto the schedule when you have availability. Actually, I can show that right here. I have that page open real quick. You can just say, let's start a new scheduled event. Let's say schedule a group meeting. And now I'm going to have a meeting with a whole bunch of people. And it shows you how you can choose multiple times that are available in your calendar. It synchronizes up with Google, and you can just say paint roll on, or in this case, it's using a spray paint thing, the amount of time you need and the time you have available. And now everybody else does the same thing, and Schedule once just gels everybody's calendars together automatically. So that's a pretty cool tool. If there's ever a life changer, that tool has been one for me.
I mean, especially someone like you who has a lot of different clients and you have to move around and, yeah. and stuff like that. But for us, too, it's good to have a good schedule of, you know, I've got to get this done by this time. I've got to get that done by this time, as opposed to my normal system, which is this, you know, which is important to have, you know, these yeah. pads that they give you at hotels and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, 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 right.
I mean, what's the old joke? Yeah, I you know, I've got the same word processing stuff. You know, here's how I type. Here's how I delete. you know, that sort of.
Hey, you know what? Once you find a system that works for you, you know, absolutely. It's nothing wrong with sticking with it, but. You know, have a little life hacker in your life and just say, maybe there's a way I could be doing this a little bit better. And don't be afraid to be adventurous and ask us. We've probably tried it by now. I know I have. I've tried pretty much everything.
Yeah. Well, you're an early innovator or an early adopter. I'm like, whatever George says. Yeah, I'll try. Let me try that. we'll see what happens. But there are so many of these things out there. There's got to be a system that probably fits into you and your personality and your style and your work style. So,
yeah.
Look at those things.
It's all about 1% changes that add up to a big change in your life, making little 1% improvements here and there.
Yeah. And Doug says dry erase board.
Yeah.
Those are great until you forget you're not using a dry erase marker and you're like, oh, crap.
Oh, here's a hack.
What?
If you write on a dry erase board or almost any plastic surface with a Sharpie, you can use the dry erase marker to erase the Sharpie. You take the mark.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, you retrace the line of the Sharpie with the dry erase, and whatever the chemical in there that makes the ink powderize or whatever it is, if you draw over you can actually erase the Sharpie. There you go. I probably learned that on lifehacker.com.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, we could go on and on, yes, but we want to go on and on with Celia Siegel, who will be joining us in just a minute here on East West Audio Body Shop. We're going to talk a little bit about how to brand yourself and a little bit more about marketing your business. And that's why, you know, it's one of the most important things we do in the voiceover business. So don't go away. We'll be right back right here.
Hey, honey, the faucet's leaking again.
Later.
Oh, sweetie, the trash smells. Can you take it out?
Later.
Babe, your mother's on the phone.
Later. Ah, cool. Oh, darling, how about a back massage?
Later.
East West Audio Body Shop. Everything else can wait.
Absolutely. All right, we're back here on EWABS, as we like to call it, and I'm sure some people have other names for it, but it's what we do on Monday night, and we have a great time, and we've got a great crowd with us tonight, and we're glad to have you with us, and we're even gladder to have with us a wonderful gal who is formerly an agent, but she's moved on with her business model a little bit here in the voiceover business. She is in the management and branding business for us voiceover folk, and her name is Celia Siegel. Welcome back to the show. We've actually had you on once before.
Yes,
didn't we?
Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be here.
Yes, we had you on when we were in Disneyland a couple of years
right.
ago.
Live and in person.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Well, we actually recorded that one, but that was a great show. That was, it was fun being on Disneyland. Well, welcome to the show. Of course, between you and I, you were one of those people that said, forget the mustache branding, which you have since apologized for.
Totally.
Oh, you know,
more specifically, you know what it was? Hmm. And you've grown your brand since then. It was more the old school wallpaper style of your artwork.
Yeah.
Now the mustache has taken on, and now that I know you too, I love your brand. Very memorable and totally works. Well, so, yeah, I'm sorry for that. Well, that recommendation.
Well, you are actually correct, because you said people see my picture and they think I'm supposed to sound like Sam Shepard, which I don't do. I mean, I can, but you know, that's not what I sound like. But for home studio work, it's certainly been, you know, it's just amazing though, the crap that people send me. It's just like one branding thing after another. And,
and now mustaches are totally hip all around.
Could you have ever predicted?
I was just ahead of the curve.
I see teenage girls who have absolutely nothing to do with handlebar mustaches wearing outfits with mustache print.
I have children, and we're all over the mustache. We have mustache duct tape.
I have mustache duct tape. Anytime there's a sale somewhere, it's like, hey, I'm going to buy 9 rolls of this stuff. And if anybody's bought any studio suit, they know what I mean. Okay, so anyway, let's talk a little bit about how did you were an agent for a while. How did you get into management and into branding?
I was a talent agent for 13 years, always specializing in voiceover. And then honestly, I always loved my job, and I was always the agent who was trying to beg my boss for $10,000 to do some promotion. So I was always branding and hiring art directors, even way back in my early agent days. So I decided after 13 years as an agent, I was going to try to quit my job, try to get myself out of the voiceover business. And my phone rang off the hook with people wanting advice. And so I started charging hourly for advice. And then all of a sudden I was working full time. So much like George was saying, I just had a business. It sort
very,
of called
very
me.
Organic and, beginning yeah. of a business.
And so now I just do all my favorite things in sort of an eclectic way, and branding is at the center of it.
And you have lots and lots of clients, and we're going to see some examples of some of the stuff you do. What really goes into branding? I think this is probably one of the most probably mentally challenging things for a lot of people, because it's like, who am I and how do I present myself? And really, what is branding, and specifically to voiceover?
Right. Well, it's hard for you guys because you're the product. So it becomes so personal, unlike if you were branding a soda or, you know, a duct tape. It's you. So it gets so close to home. And then where does that fit in with your signature sound? So there's a lot that goes into it. So I think for voiceover, you craft a message and you say it over and over again so people know what to think about you. Otherwise, it's ambiguous and they make up their own ideas. So it's a way to take charge of your voiceover career, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where, you know, I've thought about it and I'm like, well, I want to get away from the mustache for the voiceover. How do I change myself? Because I really specialize in e-learning and stuff like that. How do I create something like that? What's the kind of process you go through in helping people to find what their brand is?
You know, we have a lot. I mean, we think it's fun. So it's great because you guys have your skill set. And I know it makes a lot of people nervous. So we have a brand finder that we've put together that's a bunch of questions that help draw out your brand.
Like a brand finding app?
I should make an app.
There you go.
Yeah. The voice of it. Uh-huh. But yeah, I have my Celia Siegel Management Brand Finder. And it's just a bunch of questions that help my team and I figure out the seeds of your brand. And then we volley back and forth as a team until our client is like, eureka, that is it. They jump up and down and they're like, that is what I'm putting out there. So it not only is a way to sell yourself, but it's also a way to motivate yourself to really be in your business. And always at the same time that I do a brand, I do a business plan, which I love that even better.
I think we should all be doing business plans. That's one of the things we didn't do tonight.
You should all be doing business plans.
Business plans.
Yes, and that can be fun too. And it's amazing to see the more business-like you become and the way you treat your business, the more it starts to act like a business.
Yeah.
I see it time and time again. You claim what you want to do. You measure out the steps. And like George was saying about these slight changes that you make in life that make you more productive and successful, a business plan is a roadmap for doing just that.
Yep. And there's lots of great software for doing business plans and but it's all about setting goals and knowing what's achievable and those sorts of things. And some people are great at setting goals but terrible at achieving them, and some people are terrible at setting goals and fabulous at achieving them. It's you have to sort of find the happy medium.
I'm the latter for sure.
That's true.
Well, what are some keys to finding your brand? What are some of the questions you need to ask yourself?
You know, I think I usually like to start with thinking about why you win the job. And if you're newer and just starting out, it's, you know, why do people like you? When do people notice your charisma? What are the common denominators that you continually hear? Even if you get a call back or your agent said you did a great audition, why? So that's a great place to start. And just really brainstorming about that. Also, I think what you admire in other people and other brands can be a reflection back onto what you're good at. So that's another tool. And we just have all these sort of games that we play to pull out words and shadings and the way that you're seen. And then we put it all together. And then I have a writer, Marnie Lee, who's amazing. Hi, Marnie Lee, if you're out there. And we just write them in the language of our audience. So a little snarky, a little fun, a little hip. We're talking to copywriters. So we just bring it together in a way that works. And then we build everything from there.
What are some of the best ones you've come up with? What's one of some of those brilliant things that have just, you know, that your client said, that's fabulous, and it has really worked for them? What's some of the real success stories?
Iconic ones we've done over the years, and I didn't send a slide of this one, like Ed Victor, the big gun. Like, that's our writing, and so Ed. So when we do it right, it feels like the person. So that's when I feel very complimented, is we'll be like, oh, yeah, that is so Dan Leonard. You know, we want to get to that place where it's so the person. Right now, I'm doing a few new websites that I sent over to you guys, three of them that I'm working on this month. I have a client who's been with me for about 8 years now, Kelly Houston.
Yeah, let's show that one, George, and see what we'll discuss all the elements of this.
So she has an amazing website that is still up right now. It's kellyhoustonvo.com, and we love it so much. We get great feedback on it, but it's a little early 2000s. So we were like, the style of this is losing trend. So it's time to redo it. So this is what we came up with.
We're looking at it now. Uh-huh.
Awesome. She's grown so far in her career, and she's so amazing. We just wanted to bring in all these elements of her. And she's established enough in her VO career that we didn't need to really talk so much about what she sounded like in tagline format necessarily. But these are all the things she books. So we made it look like a magazine editorial page and wrote around it. So it's interactive and fresh and really feels like Kelly. So I'm really pleased with this one. It will be launching in the next couple of weeks.
All right.
Great job.
There's so much stuff in there, too. I mean,
but I know. It makes you want to look at it for a while.
And it's fun. So it's going to have little audio clips that do sound like these different things that we're trying to intrigue people. So it's going to be this really well-rounded, great way of showcasing her in what I think is a really expensive-looking, modern website for an actress who has really arrived in her voiceover career.
Yeah, and it's important, though, still, because this is the, you know, the homepage of your website generally, to keep it simple. How much information needs to be on the front page of your website?
The less, the better, you know, and it's always different. We're all different. And I think if it's your personality to want to express these different areas in a fresh way, You can push it to be more busy, like Kelly's got more going on, but I think it's so beautifully put together with our team that I think it's really going to work for her. Speaking of simple, the next one that I've just recently launched is Dean White. I don't know if that one's up yet.
Yeah, I got it right now.
So you can see, you know, his name is White, and he has a few genres that he works in, and we just wanted to keep it so clean and simple because, again, that's really on trend right now. And it's just like Dean White, you know, and the tagline really fits his personality if you know Dean, and I feel like it's just really intriguing. So I was real pleased with the way that one turned out. Because I think when you can distill something down into simplicity, it's easier to read and use.
Yeah, well, that's a clear, easy name to play with too. Yeah. I mean, I can't see it quite yet, so I'm trying to remember which one it was here. But
the martini glass.
Yes, very simple.
Yeah, simple,
very elegant and effective.
So, yep, we're pleased with that. And then, you know, another one, I mean, humor sells as well. And I think edgy humor with the audiences we're working with is fun. So my client, Georgina Marie, and I were working on specifically letting the world know that she does creature voices, which is usually a man's realm of, you know, Frank Welker, the legendary Frank Welker. Does so many animal voices and creature voices for feature films, etc., animation, and Dee Bradley Baker, another big creature vocal person. So we just got a little wild one day, and we tee-heed about this if we could really push it this far. But we wrote this tagline for her to express the fact that she books the lady parts.
See, this just goes, this shows you where my head's at. Lady parts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, you know.
I mean, that's fun.
It leaves it up to the interpretation of the viewer.
Double entendre.
Yeah. I love it.
Yes.
So yeah, we've been having a real fun time with that. And it just goes on and on. This is what we do over here. So we crack ourselves up and just try to hit it with people. And then work on the business plan and bring everybody into that. This is a hardworking business. It's not a Cinderella story anymore. And it's a sweat business, and you really do have to work it like a business and get your basis down so that you've got a really strong platform to build your career from.
Right.
Right.
So what are some of the other things that you need to, I mean, obviously your website is your business card, but mm-hmm. you also help people with their business cards. And what other types of material can you use this branding with? And what are some of the different types of things you can do?
Great question. I love business cards. That's my favorite sort of low budget guerrilla marketing 101. And I like to challenge people to get rid of a box of 500 business cards in a year to decent contacts. And you were talking earlier about networking. And
I have a lot of them.
Yeah, get on that. Check back with me. But yeah, your business card and personal relationships and just getting rid of those. So if it looks like your website is clever, clean, nice looking, that's awesome. You know, thank you notes. Postcards, very old school. You know, we used to mail out 10,000 postcards at a pop, and now we have ways of tracking who's actually looking at the website and clicking on the demos, and we'll collect a list of those people and use a postcard or a note card is one of the ways that you try to hit somebody up 7 times before they make a purchasing decision. So postcards, swag of all sorts.
Can I show my show and tell right now? This is,
oh, go,
this ties
go for
in.
It. Yeah.
So I got this today. I thought the timing was really significant. And I'm going to turn my camera on for a second just so Celia can see it. So I apologize if something goes wonky. But this box came in the mail. I know who it's from. Actually, no. I'm not. I don't know who. That's okay. There's no return address.
Oh, no.
So you don't know who it's from. Okay. It's a mystery box. Right? So you're like, ooh, a mystery box to me. And you open it up. So once you open it up, then you see who it came from. In this case, it was BSW. And there's nothing in the box, really, just a little card, some business cards, and an almond roca. And that's like their signature thing. They put a little one of these in every box that you get shipped from them. But, you know, that's something that it made me want to open it. Because it didn't have anything on it. It was just this cute blue box. I had to open it. So I just thought that was a pretty really cool thing.
Yeah. And these are my thank you cards.
Nice.
Now, the thing about my thank you cards is they're not thank you cards. They're actually, you know, if you go into any store, you can get mustache stuff anywhere. So it was like these are like table placards. You know, well, you know, I'm not exactly sure what kind of an event these would be for, but they make great little thank you cards. Anyway, so see, and I'm terrible about thank you cards and those sorts of things, but gratitude is such an important part of everything. I mean, when you show gratitude to people, you know, I mean, it's good for you. It makes them feel good, and everybody likes to be needed. You know, and people like to help. They like to be needed. That's really what we're all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. Appreciation.
So let's move on a little bit here. Then we've got a few questions from our incredibly huge audience tonight. Now, when you were an agent, out in L.A., weren't you?
About
the big time. How has talent agency changed since you really got out of it and got into a different part of the business?
Yeah, you know, it's been so interesting to watch. It's moving at the speed of light. And I think we're sort of reaching a new normal right now, it feels like to me, just as far as the business. It's kind of like everybody's getting a grip on how it is now. But I became a talent agent in 1988. And back in those days, I literally had 12 clients doing VO, and they were booked every hour on the hour. It was prior to the fax machine, so we got all the in-town business with all the in-town actors. So it was like an ensemble theater cast almost, and everybody made a lot of money. And then from 1988 till 1998, it just got more and more and more and more lucrative. And then the strike of 2000 and, you know, technology, and things have changed so much that it's not about landing the right agent and being taken care of and branded and marketed and sold and kept busy and your income up. So now the biggest change I see, which is both a blessing and a curse, is that you need to do these things for your own business. So you do need to set it up as your own business, you Inc., and brand yourself and market yourself and network and not overwhelm yourself. Just do what you're powerful at and make it happen, again, by these slight incremental business advantages, and really do it right, is the difference I see. And then, of course, the union, I mean, huge. That's the biggest, you know. I mean, that's why we have to work so hard, is because it's not an overnight success story situation anymore. And I've got plenty of those stories about finding somebody with a great voice and selling them and going from zero to 250 in a year. Like, it was kind of a more easy game, certainly 10 plus years ago. So yeah, different. But also, you also have the potential to reach the whole world if you put your mind to it, and that you couldn't do 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
We're doing it tonight. We're talking to the whole world.
The world, yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. Well, see, we've got a lot more to cover here, and we've got lots of questions from our audience and a few more things to cover. And you've got a giveaway for us, too. So don't go away. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop with Celia Siegel. VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Et voilà, this is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Merci. Et maintenant, back to the show.
And we're back here with Celia Siegel on East West Audio Body Shop. And, you know, I always surprise George there with usually the wrong thing. And, you know, we try to go into a break. I mean, this is not NBC.
I know.
It sort of sounds like NBC, but, you know, we do the best we can with what we got. And speaking of the doing the best you can, one of the places you can go to get the best voiceover gear on the face of the planet is at voiceoveressentials.com, because Harlan Hogan runs it. And we all know Harlan Hogan is a great guy, just a wonderful guy and a wonderful voice actor. But he also has been doing this so long. I mean, he's actually a friend of Noah. And he may have actually held one of the hammers. He's going to kill me for that, too. But he knows voiceover equipment. He knows exactly what we need in our studios. And if you need it, he probably has it, or the right thing, you know, as opposed to what you might
find. We're always looking for some product to focus on, but, you know, I thought, let's focus on the customer service side of what he does.
Absolutely.
This is something that makes him different, in that it's absolutely 100% guarantee that you like it or not, and you'll get your money back. He has a return and refunds policy that says return any item that we stock and we give you a 30-day refund period. Then it says up to 60 days from the date of purchase, you're subject to a 20% restocking fee. So even if you go another full 30 days, you do have an option to send the item back with a 20% restocking fee, which I think is a pretty fair policy, especially considering he's just a little guy, you know?
He's really not very tall at all, but he's...
It's not, you know, this isn't Best Buy here. You know, the fact that he can still do that offer to everybody makes it a no-brainer to try any one of his products out with just no fear or no concern that, especially when it comes to headphones and microphones, you got to try it in your own studio with your own ears and your own voice to know if it's going to work. So this gives you a way to get access to those products with no concern at all as to whether it's going to work for you.
That's right. And he wants you to be satisfied with what he has. So my number one rule of retail is never go into a retail store and ask what you want or ask what you need without knowing before you walk in there in the first place.
Yeah.
With Harlan, that's not a problem because you already know what you want. It's the stuff that he has, his signature series stuff. He's got it there. You don't even have to ask. It's right there on their website. Easy to order, great shipping, all that sort of stuff. Go there, voiceoveressentials.com. And thank you, Harlan, for helping us keep this insanity going every week.
Yes, thanks, Harlan. He's been there since the very beginning.
It's like I said, since Noah. Can't wait to see this new Noah movie with Russell Crowe. It doesn't look like anything like I remember reading about, you know, just with the fire and all that stuff.
Right.
It is a long chapter, though. Anyway, we're back with Celia Siegel.
Celia.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight and for putting up with us. We've got a couple of great questions from the audience here. Ann Richardson asks, Celia, that being your name, what types of branding techniques are outdated or should be avoided?
You know, good question, Anne. The thing is we work in a very hip industry with a lot of really smart, creative people, and everything becomes outdated and pretty quickly. So I would say, you know, I was talking about my client whose awesome website, we just were trashing it and doing another awesome website because it looks real 2014 or hopefully 2016, you know, kind of ahead of the curve. So things change. So I always look to what's going on in sort of popular culture. Graphics change, styles change. A lot of illustration was really, really big in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. It got a certain style about it. And now things are looking cleaner and more editorial style, I would say. Fonts go in and out of style. Color palettes go in and out of style. So, yeah, things are always moving.
Is there a certain, like, prototype brand, or not prototype, but maybe archetype brand that really is I mean, a trendsetter. I mean, I have to think, I immediately think of Apple.
Yeah, Apple is like the perfect brand, aspirational brand.
Yeah, I mean, I just think of, they really set trends. And
like a feeling and a lifestyle. And I actually have a Mac just because I want to be hip. I actually
can get up there. Hey, it's not a matter of being hip around here. This is how we do our business.
Yeah, yeah.
I got sucked in, and I spend about $2,000 a year at the Apple store because I want the feeling.
It can happen.
And you guys know I'm not very technical, so it kind of makes me feel caught up. Just, yeah, I'm a sucker for the Apple brand for sure, but it makes me feel good. And they've really captured the collective consciousness of the world with their branding.
Absolutely. Okay, Dr. Kell, the unannouncer. One of the greatest branding names of all time. Other than a referral from a client, since we were talking about referrals earlier, what's the best way to approach an agent when looking for representation?
That's a great question. And that's really, I see every year, it gets harder and harder and harder. I was watching Eric last week talking about this. And, you know, I love agents. I was an agent. I get along with other agents really well. They're so busy. You know, back when I was talking about having 12 clients on the books, they like paid my bills, and now there's 12,000. So they're so busy just keeping everything going, their emails going off, everything is fast, fast, now. So I talk to them about this all the time, and honestly, as you know, it will come as no surprise, the best way to get a great agent is to make a lot of money.
Yeah. You know? So, yeah, Eric made that pretty clear last week, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's true. They're working for a living. They're not, it's not charity work. So you figure they're getting 10% of what you book. So even if you're making $100,000 a year, you know, you're paying, you know, for the coffee for the agency for the year, you know? So it's, you've got to make a lot of money to make 10% add up. So it's the truth. So that's where it goes back to the whole branding thing and taking responsibility for your own resume and client list and making things happen for yourself is a good way to get an agent's attention. Referrals, people in the industry who trust you, showing them that you have been booking with great ad agencies and big time stuff that is competitive. Like, oh, you got that. Okay, you've got my attention. So yeah, it's all about the bottom line. And then of course, you have to be on time, easy to work with, super talented and amazing. That goes without saying. But yeah, it's a...
And technically adept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And technically adept, absolutely. And fast and fun to be around. Like there's enough great voiceover talent out there that when I first started, my clients were all kind of assholes. You know, cousin jerks. And we kind of liked them. They've got confidence. They've got bravado. But people won't put up with that anymore. You know, you have to be fun and kind and all that. Does that help?
It does, absolutely. Steve Tardio asks, Celia, would branding be more visual with artwork and logos or written taglines when it comes to voiceover?
Both. I think writing is really important, and it's difficult to do well and concisely. So I think you need a written tagline of some sort, and the shorter the better. I mean, it could be a two-word announcer, you know? I mean, that's awesome. The shorter the better. And the shorter and more concise things are really the harder it is to come up with. So you need a tagline. You need to say something about yourself. You need to tell the world what to think about you. And then the visuals need to match up. And then when I click play on your demo, I'm real comfortable because I know what I can expect, and you sound like you look, and it all feeds in. So I say both are important to do well.
All right. And now here's three questions that are essentially the same. Devox asks, how do you keep it from getting put? How do you keep from getting put in a box? What sort of branding is overdoing it in a way that is counterproductive? And Shelly Avellino says, is there a risk of pigeonholing yourself if you go too far with branding? You know, i.e. the video voice, et cetera, et cetera.
Awesome question. I know you guys are actors. So traditionally, being flexible, being versatile was the way you made a great living. Well, things have exploded, So now it's the reverse of that, which feels so uncomfortable. But pigeonholing is great, and it's great branding. And being put in a box is great as long as it's a box that people want to use. So these days, if you can be the best at something and tell the world about it and have great demos to back it up and have an agent who believes in it and do your own personal marketing that supports that, I would say in most cases that's the way to go as far as the bread and butter of your career. And then you can branch off from there and do other genres as well. But I think specializing in you, because you're selling you, is being boxed in. And that's a good thing.
See, people, that's sort of counterintuitive, but you're absolutely right.
Because you want to be able to do everything.
Yep. Scott Chambers asks, is it a bad move to not have a downloadable demo on your website?
Yes, it's a bad move because people want to use it in different ways and they want to be able to download it and send it. That is an extra benefit and you should have a downloadable demo on your website. I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah. JC Davis Kirkpatrick asks, last week Eric Shepard said he only accepts CDs. Is that the main wants of most agents, or is Eric in the minority? Only one. I haven't sent out a CD in probably 5 years.
Yep.
Maybe I'm just not sending out anything. But
Eric last week, and I was like, good for you, Eric. I loved that. And I loved his reasoning behind it is communication is easy. It's cheap now. I mean, I can push a button and I could email 10,000 people right now and say, hi, I'm awesome. Hire me. And that's not very well thought out. So I think in order to really be serious, some agents want you to do a CD. They want to see how it looks. That does not mean you need to go out and produce a trade card. Like, that's one of the good news things is you don't have to do that anymore. It's a way to filter out something that keeps them really busy and show who's really serious. Because if you can follow directions on a submission, you can follow directions and be there in the business side of things. I would say 10%, 15% of the agents out there want it that way. A bunch of people want only referrals is a way to weed people out. I've seen that, and I get why agents do that.
All righty. Tasty Voice asks, but that's an interesting, I like that branding right there. What about SEO? What about search engine optimization? And I know we got to have some guys on talking about SEO and stuff like that. It's very different from the old, you know, have all the keywords in there. But
right.
What about that? How do you approach that with people's websites?
I think the cool thing is now that if you're good at, and I think it's all about following the few things you're very good at. If you're a good writer and you like to blog, I mean, if you want to create content and put it out there, it's a great way to show off your brand and your personality, and that helps your SEO. I think that there are so many venues for people to find you guys that to be like male voiceover and have Dan Leonard pop up, I mean, it's not really realistic. So, I mean, you can spend a lot of money getting your SEO optimized and all of that. I think unless you're a really highly specialized voice, I'm working with a British woman right now, and that's a really small category, relatively speaking. I think for her, it's important. Or Slovenian, like you were talking about earlier in the show. If you have
it was Latvian, but Slovenian counts too.
Latvian. Okay, Latvian. But if you have such a specialty that you're in a small category, I say spend the money and really concentrate on it. But if you're like in the pack, you know, it's nice, but, you know, there's other things to pay attention to, other ways to reach people other than them just tripping on your website.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, SEO is really changing a lot. There's a lot more about content than it is about keywords. We got to get Steve Cunningham on the show, George. Maybe he's one of those people we got to talk to.
Yeah.
Chris Tom. Well, it's John Bailey Crumpton. We'll get to Chris's question in a second, but this is a great question. I think everybody asks this one. How often do you rebrand or overhaul your site?
In a perfect world, I would say every 3 years you would rebrand, and in increments. So think about like Target in the 1970s did not have just the bullseye. or Coca-Cola or Pepsi, the bigger you get, the more popular you become, you can just really pull back and just have something out of the corner of the eye that says, like, you've got your mustache now. People out of the corner of the eye can see that and be like, oh yeah, Dan Leonard. The trends are going to change in the media and in popular culture every 3 to 5 years. So I would say, this Kelly Houston rebrand that we just did, even though we loved her old site and got great feedback on it, it looked a little not fresh. So we redid it. So in a perfect world, 3 years, realistically, every 6 years, just budget-wise, I know it gets expensive and you've got to keep it real and not go nuts when it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Right.
But it's part of your business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how you market yourself. Here's a really interesting question. I think everyone's going to go, Chris Tom asks, what's more important, good voice or good talent?
Good talent. For sure. If you have a good voice and no talent, you might as well be the bus driver,
Right. Yeah.
So somebody just asked me today who wanted to know more about what I do for a living. It was somebody not in our industry who's a friend of mine, and they were asking about how do you know a good voice? And I said, these days, the voice itself is secondary. Absolutely. We're out of that super day where it was the quality that we were buying and you were reading.
Yeah, I mean, think about some of those character voices on The Simpsons, for example. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but the woman that plays Marge and her sisters.
Oh, Julie Kavner.
Right. She's got this really kind of, this is not a great book. It's a really not a particularly, marketable, quote unquote, voice.
But she's a great actress.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's what separates the top dogs from the people climbing up the hill is the talent piece.
All right. One more from Ann Richardson, who always asks wonderful questions because she's a wonderful lady. Please clarify about how in QR codes are.
Oh, good question.
I've been seeing a lot of that lately, and I'm like, okay.
It's a good question. I was so excited about the QR code about, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And in Japan, everybody was using it, scanning stuff in the stores, and it really took off. And I don't feel like it ever really took off here. I'm disappointed in the QR code as far as marketing voiceover talent. I think there's a place for it, and it can work. But I just don't see a lot of people pulling out their phones and scanning stuff. No. I mean, we could just ask Siri now.
I have my theory on that, but I'll tell you, I'm a geek. I have an Android phone. It's customized to the nines. But if I had to scan a QR code like right now, it would probably take me 30 seconds to find that QR code app. Mm-hmm. It's the moment's gone, The Japanese, they love technology. I mean, they love it. So when something like that happens, they get on the bandwagon and they use it, And Americans are different that way. They just, work differently.
They had a thing in Japan where, during a certain special time, a QR code would come through as the sun passed over the filter, and you could scan it off the sidewalk and get a good thing, and it was, nuts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a cool idea, but we're not going to do that here.
No, not going to fly.
QR codes. So they're on the way. They're not really good for us, then.
Yeah, we'll see, but I don't see it.
All righty. Well, this has been fascinating. Huge. This is the kind of stuff that we want to have on this show, so we're glad that you were able to present it to us tonight.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. And now you've got something that you want to give away here. Let's see. You have a business plan package.
I do.
It's worth $250. Wow, this is like an auction here. If it's like the public television auction. If the first one in the chat room can guess the age of her pet or something like that, we got to come up with a good thing here,
which we didn't.
And I didn't make up that question. I wanted a haiku contest
haiku contest
tomorrow and see if you guys will participate.
All right, well,
we'll come up with something good and we'll make sure it goes up on our
on our website. So okay, yeah. Cool. Absolutely. Well, thanks for being with us, Celia. Can't wait to see you again. It was so great hanging out with you at all the great places we get to hang out together when we do.
Always a pleasure.
All righty. Where can they get a hold of you? I think George has had all your stuff up there all the entire time here, but how can they get a hold of you if they would like some branding
for our podcast listeners?
Yes.
My email is celia@celiasiegel.com.
Oh, that's a tough one.
S-I-E-G-E-L.
Yeah, you got it.
G-E-L, that's right.
So celia@celiasiegel.com, and you can check out my website, and you can look at our branding gallery and see some of our other work at celiasiegel.com.
All right. Excellent. And great stuff. Very good. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. Well, we're in the home stretch here. We've been stretching it out pretty good for quite a while here. Let's see here. First, we have a few announcements. First, we have to thank all of our donors. Who are the latest? Well, we know Eric Aragone. Every Sunday afternoon, it's like, Eric, we appreciate it. And if you're watching, which you should be, we really appreciate it. Were there any other donations this week?
I didn't see anything pop up on my radar. If you are interested in providing a little bit of a donation, actually, we had a couple pop up tonight. Some of you guys bought clickers.
That's true.
Hey, Eugene Dixon, Jeffrey S. Chambers, George V. Case.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
I am responsible for mailing these things out, and I'm also a full-time voice actor, so be patient with them. They will come out, and if you're in a foreign country, I still have to fill out all of the custom forms for these.
It's ridiculous.
No, it's, hey, you know, it's the so way. So much for NAFTA, you know.
Right.
But I will get them. If you purchased a clicker, you will be getting it hopefully soon, because I'll probably just head to the post office tomorrow.
I'm sorry. I wanted to say to Celia at the end of the show, but I didn't want to put her on the spot either. But one of the things we're planning on doing is a new roundtable theme.
That's
every single month. And this is pretty ambitious. I'm hoping that we can keep it going, but we're going to repeat them every 6 months or so, but we're not just going to do a tech roundtable. We're going to have...
Not that those aren't great.
No, but we're going to have lots of different topics, and so I hope that when we do one on business, that Celia would like to be one of our roundtables.
Definitely she'll be in.
I hope so, yeah. She would be.
Other fabulous people that we can have on a panel like that. Yeah. You know, and we're going to have one on acting, so we're going to have some really good acting coaches in here, and you know, instead of our usual, you know, group hangouts, which were fun, and we'll be able to get people into the room to ask questions.
Those are going to be in rotation too, I think. You know, I think we're going to still have our fan hangout every 6 months or so as well.
Right.
So we can still have those, but I want to make sure that we get a huge amount of value out there out of the show, and the fans, we love having you guys on, but we want to be able to have you join in on these hangouts with these luminaries and be able to ask them questions. I think it's going to be a lot of fun and really helpful.
Luminaries. Now there's a word.
Luminaries.
Luminaries.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We have a new YouTube channel too. youtube.com/ewebshow with two S's as opposed to our email address, which is just ewebshow.
Not to confuse you.
Don't confuse you.
Sorry.
But, go there because we're going to have lots of content there. We have the first EWABS Essentials is up there right now.
Oh, it got up there.
It is actually up there.
All right. Yes. Our whole world has moved to this channel on YouTube. All the old shows and all the old channels, everything is cross-posted back into this one place. So you don't have to go looking around and digging around for the old episodes and all that. All those channels, playlists, everything are in one place there. So it's really easy to find all of our video content in one place.
That's right. Okay, first Monday in March. That's like, is that next week?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
February 28th.
My kid's birthday is Thursday. That means March is right around the corner.
Alrighty. We're gonna have our March Audio Masters Roundtable and all of your favorite audio masters. I know Uncle Roy will be there and Joe Van Ripper and Cliff and a few other special guests that we'll be having in here. March 10th, the amazing and very entertaining Johnny Heller will be here talking about doing audiobooks and all the great stuff he does. March 17th, Liz Dineshera will be with us talking about all of the cool stuff that she does.
Telephony Queen.
Yes. And then March 24th, we're not exactly sure what we're going to do.
But it is our third.
Our third anniversary.
Yeah.
We started this show March 22nd, 2011, and it's still here. As a matter of fact, there's more of you watching this show now than before. I guess we're doing the right thing. So maybe if you guys can come up with an idea for how we can celebrate our anniversary,
help us.
We will take all suggestions.
I like cake.
That's true. So we've cake. I hadn't thought of that. Boston cream pie.
Ooh.
Or key lime pie.
You know what would be funny is if we each have a cake made that's the same cake. So we can each have this, like, you know, the same exact thing. So we can each eat the same thing. And, yeah, I don't know. That'd be funny.
I'm sure it could be done. It's got to be one of those mail order houses that'll do that. Yeah. You know? Harry and David. Although I have a funny story. I sent somebody a Harry and David gift basket this for the holidays, and she ran into some family problems, and she called me the other day to thank me for this Harry and David gift basket, which was loaded with fruit.
Huh.
She's half of it was bad, the other half was still good.
Oh no.
I'm really sorry. She was far more apologetic than I was, but you know, but at least I sent her a gift basket, so that was, you know, treat your good clients really well.
Yeah.
That's how you get referrals. Mm-hmm. And actually I think she was a referral client, to tell you the truth.
There you go.
Okay, we have to thank our sponsors once again. Harlan Hogan, Voiceover Extra, Edge Studio. We're going to have a commercial from them one of these days.
Yeah, we're going to help them put together something nice and fun to watch.
So you guys know what all the great stuff that Edge Studio does.
That's right.
Like us on Facebook. Like us, love us on Facebook, as a matter of fact. Follow us on Twitter at @EWABS_show and subscribe on YouTube to the new channel. And like every single one of our videos, which is, they're going to be in the thousands by now. We know we have at least 133 there, but now that we're adding EWABS Essentials, check it out. We've been putting a lot of time and thought into this. So little tidbits of EWABS, we love having you hang out for the hour and a half that we're on. And, but we have little tidbits, little nuggets of really good information that you can watch in 3 or 4 minutes and go, well, that was worth watching.
Bite-sized.
I must say.
Bite-sized.
Yes. I'll let you do the closing remarks and acknowledgments.
Okay, man.
Your voice sounds a lot better.
I've been, maintaining.
You're doing your neti pot.
Thank you to our wives. Thank you, Amy, for giving me the space to do the show. And Dan, your wife, too, is thank you for giving us the space to do the show. We really appreciate it. Kathy Curtin, who helps us book these wonderful guests. We appreciate you deeply. Anthony Gettig, who's helping us with the chat room tonight and keeping all the questions flowing. Jack DeGolia, he's one of our new member of the team. He's been helping us log the show and create these amazing breakdowns of where the best moments of the show are, which will help us create the essentials. Thank you, Jack. Jason Lawson, who's hanging in there. I know he's still dealing with some real health issues, and he's still
feel better, bro.
He's still providing our show notes. Thank you. And Lee is helping us with our podcast, making sure the audio version. So all these guys, this whole team, is helping us, and they're doing it all of them out of the goodness of their hearts. So thank you guys so much. And we really appreciate it.
Yep. So that's going to do it for us this week. Although this was a great show. Not that every show isn't great, but this one was a great show. This one flowed.
It did.
It flowed like honey.
Yes, it went pretty smooth.
Yeah, but Celia's a sweet gal. And that helps.
Indeed.
All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We will see you next Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Woodham in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody.
Good night, y'all.